Good morning and shalom. We want to thank God for this opportunity once again that the Lord has given us. We want to look at John chapter number 17 from verses 1 to 19. This is so critical. It's so important to realize what is happening at this particular time. This was the most difficult night. It was the longest night for the disciples since the day they started following Jesus Christ. Up to this point, for 3.5 years, this was the longest night. And particularly, these last 24 hours, the disciples had gone through turmoil after turmoil. They had been disillusioned. They had felt cheated. They had felt disappointed. They were grieving. They felt that it was not worthy following. They had started losing hope. By then, Judas had already left them. At that particular night, Jesus tried to wash their feet just to encourage them, to show them that he is there amongst them as one who serves. Jesus told them that his going is for their benefits, and they should not let their hearts be troubled. They were told that Jesus will be going to the Father, and the Father will be there for them, that Jesus is going to make them a mansion, and after he finished, you come for them. He encouraged them, telling them that while they are here, they'll have peace on earth. And the peace of God is not like the peace that is given by the world. He told them that in this world there will be trouble, but they are told also, they were encouraged to take peace because Jesus has overcome. Jesus took time and tell them that once they pray, things will happen. And Jesus said that you are entering into a moment he called a little while. A little while is a time of grief, when their grief will turn into joy. And this little while, he said, is a time when they will enter and they'll start to pray for themselves. He told them, you have never been to this season again, this season of prayer, where you can pray for yourself. In fact, he told them, I am not going to pray for you to the Father, but you will pray to the Father through me. Now, this was a new dispensation. I want to let you know that the season that Jesus promised the disciples then, because he had not yet been glorified, is the season we are in. Can we say that though we are going through a very difficult time, we are also living in one of the most great time, one of the most important time on our lives, because we could be able to talk to the Father freely. Jesus encouraged the disciples and said, you are not slaves. You're not just slaves, because slaves do not know what their master needs or wants. He said, you are my friend, and you are my friend if you obey me, if you keep my commandment, and my commandment will make you become my friend, and the people will know that you are my disciples. He said, you are not only my friend, you are also my sons, you are the sons of God. He did a lot of encouragement. I can you imagine, for less than 6 hours, Jesus had taken chapter 13 of the book of John all the way to chapter 16, and he'll go up to chapter 18 of the book of John. Why is he doing all this? Just to encourage them. But he also told them that there'll come a time of grief. There'll come a time of enmity, when the people will slaughter you and they feel that they're doing a sacrifice to God. But he told them, don't you worry. That is a time he called a little while. Can I encourage you that in the little while, Jesus is transforming us to become people who could become prayer warriors, people who could pray for themselves, people who could be able to call God on their behalf. They had never been able to pray. When they were in trouble and Jesus was with them for 3.5 years, he stood in for them. When they needed food, Jesus just gave them. When they were in storm, Jesus would stop the storm. When they were being laughed at, Jesus protected them. When they did not have money to pay for their rent, like Peter, they were asked to go and look for a fish. And inside that fish, they would be able to get their money to pay for their rent. Now, when Jesus was everything for them, they were so dependent, which is very good on Jesus. But this time, they were being promoted into a very high level of sonship. What do I mean? Jesus said, from now, you will pray to the Father. You're entering into a time, after the little while, you will enter into a dispensation where you could talk to the Father. For yourself, you'd communicate to God, but through Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit. But in chapter 17 of the book of John, Jesus demonstrated what that prayer would look like. He did not just only pray for them. He did not only talk to them, what to encourage them. Jesus prayed to the Father for himself to be glorified. He also prayed for the 11 grieving disciples. I want you to know that just like the peace of God is a resource, just like the Holy Spirit is a resource, just like being together, community of believers is a resource, prayer is another great resource for victory for the troubled and hated believers as they struggle through hostile culture. Prayer is a humble invitation of God to take charge in our situation here on earth. Prayer is like giving God license, as Miles Monroe says, to operate on our behalf. So Jesus here now demonstrated. And that's why we go to John 17 and verse 1. The Bible says, after Jesus said this, he stopped saying, he started praying. We must also come to a point where we are not just saying and speaking to the troubled, persecuted believers, but we start praying. And he looked up towards heaven and prayed. What a good model. What a good example that we have here. This is an intercessory prayer. We have got different types of prayer. One of the prayer is called intercessory, which we need to look for, which we need to just look a few things about here, as Jesus gave us an example. We have got another prayer called praying through the scripture, where you can take the scripture and you go through the verses and you make them your own. Another form of prayer is called breath prayer. This is where you are in trouble and you can say, Lord Jesus, take control. You don't even say verbally. Let's say that you have been kidnapped by the enemy and they have kidnapped you because of faith. You can just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, you verbalize. I mean, you say it from you. You believe that what you're saying, because even your intention becomes part of prayer. We have got what we call prayer through write-ups, where you can write, like some of the people, some of the church members write prayer. They have got so many prayer. There is a prayer called, may the will of God take place. But today, we just want to look at this intercessory prayer. And we want to learn a few things about intercessory prayer. So one of the things is that Jesus looks up. You know, many people have come up with a lot of activities we do during prayer. Sometimes we cross our eyes. Not bad, but the Bible does not talk about crossing of the eyes. Sometimes, you know, we talked about so many things that we can do in prayer. But what Jesus gives here is looking up into heaven. Why are we looking up to heaven? Why was he looking up to into heaven? Because looking up to heaven also, remember, this is a prayer of intercession. And you could be having some people who are looking at you. And every time Jesus did an intercessory prayer, he looked up to heaven. Do you remember even when in John 6, they did not have food and there was only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He took them and he looked up to heaven and he lifted up them to heaven. The other thing is that another form of prayer is lifting our hands to God. Lifting up our hands to God is a form of surrender. You know, when somebody is pushing you and you have come to the end of yourself, we normally lift our hands to them to show that we have surrendered. Now, we lift up to God, not to people here, but to God, to show them that we have surrendered, that we need him to come and take charge, that we are giving him license, that we want him to come. Remember, God has already given us a delegated of authority here on earth. And we are supposed to rule and have dominion on earth. But as an act of humility, we keep on calling him to take charge, especially when things are difficult. So Jesus looked up to heaven and he prayed. Look at his prayer. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son. Now, in this prayer of intercessory, Jesus prayed, it is divided into 3. Number one, he prayed for himself. Of course, he was praying to God, but he prayed for himself. Then number 2, he also prayed for the 11 disciples who are with him. By this time, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, when we go to the Garden of Gethsemane, in other books, in the other gospel books, we do not even know what Jesus prayed. We only know that Jesus prayed until blood came out of his face. He was sweating blood, but we did not know exactly what he was praying. We only knew that he went and bowed down and he knelt and he lifted his hand and he covered himself and he prayed a prayer. And he said, let remove this cup from me if it is your will. But then he said, let your will be done. But we do not know the nitty-gritties of this prayer. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And this is what he did. He prayed for himself. He prayed to God for himself. He prayed to God for the 11. And then he prayed for the future believers, which we are going to do tomorrow. But today he was praying for those disciples that are there. And he prayed for himself. And this is what he said for himself. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. Now, Jesus was so consumed with the glory of the Father and the glory of the Son. And this is what consumed Jesus. He talked about glory. Yes, he was going through difficulty. Yes, he saw a lot of trouble and persecution. He knew there was death before him, but he was so much consumed with the glory of God. He said, I want to glorify you. I came to glorify you. In fact, he said, hour has come. Hour for what? For my death. And my death would be able to glorify you. What is to glorify God? To glorify God, remember, God is not seen. God is spirit. He is not a spirit. God is the spirit. He is spirit. And for us to be able to know God is there, there are things we can see and can hear on earth. Those things we can see and hear, they signify the glory of God. For example, in Old Testament, they could see smoke. They could see cloud. They could see wind. All those things, they signify the glory of God. The glory of God is anything that reveals the character of God, that reveals who God is, that reveals the majestic of God. And that's what Jesus was saying. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. So he also talked about that you give me these people, that I may give them eternal life. And now he says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Do you know when you say you have eternal life, what you mean? Having said that you have eternal life, you say that I know Jesus Christ. I know the only true God. So when people say, how do you know that you have eternal life? Tell them, I know I have eternal life because I know God, the only true God. That means there are so many other gods. The gods of the hills, the God of the mountains, the God of the valleys, the God of money, the God of businesses, but there's only one true God. If we know that one true God, then we have eternal life. And if we know Jesus Christ, that is God, the Son, through whom, who is the only way, who is the truth and the life to this one true God, then we have eternal life. And we need to get to know that. And then he says, I have brought glory on earth by finishing the work you give me to do. Do you know that Jesus said he has brought glory by finishing the work? Finishing the work that God has given us, we should know that this is one way to bring glory to God. Jesus continued to pray, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I have had before the world began. And so we would continue to look at how Jesus prayed for himself, and he was consumed about finishing the work and glorifying and giving eternal life. Father, we thank you because you came to give us eternal life. You came to glorify God. You came to finish your assignment. Help us to learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray.